Can we turn, please, to John chapter 17? Just if you open your Bible at John chapter 17 in the verse 3, I'm just going to close with a short word from God's Word. John chapter 17 in the verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen. And we trust that God will bless this reading from his word. Life, we've been singing about it. We have had messages and song about it. We've had a testimony about it. And I'm sure everyone here in our meeting tonight, yes, you're seeking the meaning of life. You're looking at your own life now, I'm sure, and I'm sure you have set yourself many different tasks in that search for true happiness, true peace, true joy, and indeed a purpose in being here in this world. And I have no idea what you have set your heart upon, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man, here in John chapter 17, in verse 3, sums up the true meaning and the true answer to life. For he says there, even in the opening words, "And this is life." But he goes on a step further to say, "This is life eternal." And yes, you might say, "I am enjoying my life." And you might say to me, "Yes, I do have an element of peace and an element of satisfaction in my life." And I don't know what age you are. It doesn't matter what age you are. Whether you're 7 years of age or 77 years of age, this message is still the same for you. But the Lord Jesus Christ says here, his life is not only for our life here on earth, but it's for eternity. And yes, there is an eternity. And the life that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here is a life that will last not just for the 70, 80, 90 years that we're in this earth, but it's going to last forever and forever. Because yes, we will live forever. The Bible says it. So what we're looking here at the verse 3, we're going to move through this verse, breaking it up into small pieces, and I'm going to leave some very simple thoughts with you for about 5 or 10 minutes just at the end of our service tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ here says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." Here the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that eternal life is found in knowing God. And what he's talking about here is not simply a basic head knowledge of facts about God. Because I'm sure everyone here has a knowledge of God. You wouldn't be in this meeting and you wouldn't attend this church regularly and not have a knowledge of God. You wouldn't come to Sunday school, perhaps, boys and girls, and not have a knowledge of God. But it's not just a mere knowledge about facts. Well, that is very, very important, because we must know about God. God has given us a brain. He's given us understanding and intelligence that we might know him. That is why we have been created that way. But it's not just in knowing those facts, but it's deeper than that. It's not only a head knowledge, it's a knowledge from our hearts. Do you know God in your heart? Because it's only by a personal saving knowledge from our hearts that we can truly know God. Do you? Do you know God from the heart? And thou hast, indeed he's saying here, that they might know thee, the only true God. This is again in contrast between God and idols. Because at the time of writing here, naturally in the world there was much worship of spirits. There was much worship of idols, actual physical idols that were set up in homes and indeed in many, many different prominent places. So what the Lord Jesus was saying was that they knew God even in contrast to other gods. Idol worship was very common and very prevalent in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll go a step further and say that idol worship is very common and prevalent in this, the 21st century. Indeed, We only have to go across the world, and Stephen and Helen can tell you that, to many, many different countries, and there you will find people who still worship spirits and gods of wood and stone that have been created in prominent places. And I could go further to say that in Northern Ireland you could go into some homes and there you might still see small idols sitting in front door porches or in prominent places in the homes where some people still worship their idols. And you wouldn't have to watch television very long till you would find out there are people who, yes, even in this modern age, who will call themselves witches and wizards, and they will go into forest areas and there they will worship their gods. But I want to go a step further and ask you today, what takes up your time? What takes up your thoughts most of the time? What are you thinking about? What do you spend your time considering? What do you spend your time doing? How's your time spent? Is it in business? We heard that this morning. Is it in seeking a better home for yourself? Is it in seeking money? Perhaps it's in some sporting activity and you would follow a team and you could tell us everyone in the team, and yes, aha, on your walls there could well be some pictures of the team. Is it music? And yes, perhaps you could tell us every song produced by a particular group or a particular person, and you have got every CD or DVD or whatever known to man this particular group or person has produced, and your wall is full of it. And your iPod is full of it. Are they not idols? Because if we are spending our time in knowing all these things, then we're rejecting God. Because what did he say in the commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy will. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And indeed, we can have idols in our lives over and above against God. Tell me, is that you tonight? Can you honestly say you truly love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind? You see, to know God means we have a personal relationship with him, and he will not take second place to anyone or to anything. He will not take second place to anyone or to anything. Some facts about God then, that we might know God as the only true God. Well, the God that I'm talking about, the God of the scriptures, is an eternal God. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God. There was no such thing as a beginning for God. He was already there. When time began was when God made this world. And that is how time runs. God made this world, time began. So long before time began, God existed. Not only is that, but God is a sovereign God. God is a creator God. Because it goes on in Genesis 1 to say that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And indeed Paul, when he was speaking to a number of pagans at Mars Hill, he said these things to them. I'm going to finish nearly on this point here. For it says in Acts chapter 17, here's what God says. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. There he states right away, God made the world. And I believe that God created this world. And not only that, but he says even further down, and have made of one blood all nations of men. God made us. God made us human beings. And he made us well above the animal kingdom. He made us unique. He gave us intelligence that we might have that ability to know him. He gave us emotions, feelings, that we could love him and respond to him. He gave us a will, that we could obey him. The animal kingdom don't have that. We do. God made each one of us on the sixth day. So he's the creator of all things. Not only that, but it says in the verse 26, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. In other words, God is in control of our lives. And God is in control of your life. You're not in this meeting tonight by mere chance. by good fortune, just because perhaps a friend or relation did invite you. No doubt about it. You're here because God wants you here tonight. Because God has a message for you. God is in control of all our lives. And in the verse 28 he says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." God sustains our life. So he's the creator. He's sovereign. He's the sustainer of all life. You're only alive tonight because God wants you to be alive. This world will never be destroyed by a nuclear war. The scriptures make it plain that Christ will return to this world. It will never be completely annihilated. Christ will return to this world. And yes, he will burn it with fire. But it will only be under his control. But as our Creator, he has given us commandments. He has given us commandments to obey. And those commandments are only given for one reason. That we can see for ourselves our own sin. God gave us the Ten Commandments. And those commandments were to show us clearly how he wanted us to live. But because of the sin in our lives, because again, we all know that Adam fell in the garden. He disobeyed God. He ate of the forbidden fruit. And the Bible tells that death and sin passed upon all men. For all men are sinners. And we know we're sinners tonight because as you match your life against God's commandments, how does it match up? I've already asked you, can you honestly say you love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind? Can you honestly say that you have never, ever stolen anything, never, ever told a lie, never, ever committed adultery in your heart, perhaps? I don't know. But can you, as you sit here tonight before God, because one thing the Lord has said is, he is righteous and he will judge all things. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments, David said in the Psalms. And God sees all things. And he knows all about us. And he's asking us tonight, in this meeting, how do you stand? How do you match up to my commandments? Can you honestly say there's no sin in your life, that you haven't broken those commandments? In thought, in word, or maybe even in deed. You see, the Lord doesn't just judge our actions, he judges our thoughts. He judges our heart. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, God looks upon the heart. How do you stand before God, I ask you tonight? Where do you stand? But it's not only in that knowledge of God. Because when we see God and we see ourselves, we can see there's a great need there. We cannot possibly keep those commandments. But indeed, does the Lord Jesus Christ not go on to mention, not only in knowing God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I want to ask you tonight in closing, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he was sent for a reason. Romans 8 tells us, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. As we close our meeting tonight, Christ came to this earth for a purpose. As he spoke here in John 17, he knew that he was going to the cross. He knew exactly that he was going to die at the hands of guilty sinners, the very creatures that he had created. He knew he was innocent. He had done no harm. But he also knew that he was taking upon him the sins of many. He was taking upon him the sins of his people. And he was going to die in their place that we could go to heaven. Let me say that verse again. God commendeth his love towards us, and that while were we yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good news. That's where eternal life is found. In Jesus Christ. How? By believing in him. In John 3 and verse 16 that Mark mentioned, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, personal knowledge of Christ, coming to Christ personally, confessing our sins, putting our trust in him. What does the verse say in closing? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What are we told here? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In closing, can I ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Savior? Can you tell me tonight, yes, I know him, and I know I have eternal life? Dear friend, don't leave it too late. Just in closing, one true story that I heard this afternoon from my mother on the telephone. The Reverend John Greer has been holding a mission for 3 weeks in Bersheim. And he was telling the congregation this morning about a man, a farmer, who had attended the mission very, very regularly. His brother is a believer in Christ. His nephew and niece have been praying for him regularly in the prayer meetings. And I can tell people here tonight, there are people who have been praying for you tonight. The man walked out of the meeting last week, one of the evenings, and happened to say to the person that brought him to the meeting, "You know something? I'm going to have to get saved before I die." The very next morning, that man dropped dead in his own house. We don't know where he is tonight. We don't know what he has done. He put it off. He'd attended that meeting faithfully. And I know there are people here who attend this services here faithfully. And you're prayed for faithfully. Please, do not put it off, because God says, "Behold, now is the accepted time." Not tomorrow, not next Sunday, not next Friday night. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Please do not procrastinate. Please do not stand up against God and say, "I'll get ready in my times." God has said it down very clearly. Now is the accepted time. I trust that you'll come to him.